Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
2-1 pitch is belted to right field and deep. Going back on it, Robinson. He runs out of room. This one's gone. Mitch Moreland with a home run.
Next pitch is hit to left field. High and deep. Is it high enough to get out? Home run. Just over the wall to the left of the light tower. And the Red Sox lead it 3-0. J.D. with his 33rd home run.
Recapping the Red Sox win against the Yankees.
2-1. Swung on and hit in the air to center field. Playable for Jackie Bradley Jr. Jackie's got it. And the ball game is over. Whew. Had him all the way. Well, not exactly how you draw it up. But the Red Sox hang on and win this one by a 4-1 score.
Dial 617-779-7937. Red Sox Review with John Ryder on WEEI.
So the Red Sox, a season high 44 games above 500. I mean, that's just incredible. You could talk about piling up wins against poor teams. Well, now they're piling up wins against good teams. So they've taken the first three against the Yankees at Fenway. John Ryder, Red Sox Review, is we'll be taking your calls at 617-779-7937. You can text us as well, 37937. So are the Yankees buried in terms of the division now, 8.5 betting back? It's going to be tough, really tough, difficult. The Red Sox would have to go way below 500 the remainder of the way. There's still two series remaining against the Yankees, a three-game set. September 18th through the 20th at the stadium in the Bronx. Then they finish up the regular season against the Yankees with a three-gamer at Fenway. But, I think it is. I mean, we were talking about this last night. It's going to take, I mean, that would take an incredible effort. And the Red Sox still have, I mean, they still have some poor teams they're facing. They've got, you know, a road trip coming up after this, after the off day on Monday. They've got three at Toronto. Three at Baltimore, which includes a doubleheader on Saturday. They've still got a White Sox series, a couple of Tampa Bay series. Although Tampa Bay's played better than expected. They visit the White Sox. And they've got some good teams mixed in. Still a series with Houston and two left with Cleveland as well. But I think the Red Sox, I mean, I can't see them relinquishing. I mean, it's tough to say that considering if we remember what happened back in 2011, if you remember back then, 7 years ago, old chicken and beer and all that mischief, which, whatever. I mean, but it was more so not that, but the whole fact that they ended up squandering that huge lead. I mean, you can never say never, but it looks like, I mean, I think the Red Sox have pretty much a stranglehold on this division. That's a season high, four straight losses for the Yankees. Catching them at the right time right now, banged up in the pitching staff. Jay Happ going on the DL with the hand, foot, mouth disease, which is strange. And they have Chance Adams, who pitched pretty well, actually, in his major league debut, considering Yankees have been struggling and also was at Fenway Park. Gave up the two-run homer to Moreland in the first, and then J.D. Martinez with a solo shot in the fourth inning. But pitched pretty well considering his major league debut. But Nathan Eovaldi, and you know, we had loaded up lines last night. A lot of talk about Porcello. It felt, I mean, that was a gem last night. I mean, it kind of, even though this was another gem, you almost feel like, well, ho hum. I mean, same result, almost mirror image, really, except for Porcello's was a complete game and it was a one hitter. He didn't give up the one run to Miguel Andujar the third inning, but then retired the final 21 he faced, and that was just dominant. This was almost equally as dominant from Nathan Eovaldi against his former team. Just three hits, no runs, walked one, struck out four over eight innings. I mean, what a find. Not that you expect him to have scoreless outings every time out, but that's been the case so far in his first two. especially doing it against the Yankees at Fenway. And it's one thing to go seven scoreless against Minnesota in his debut, which was last Sunday. It's another thing to do it against the Yankees. And this is a guy that did win 14 games a few seasons back with New York, and what a find to this point anyway. I mean, this guy, if it keeps going, I mean, there's talk about him pitching out of the bullpen in the playoffs, which could happen. Who knows? Still plenty of time left as being that, you know, seventh, eighth inning guy. I mean, he might end up being in the playoff rotation. If he continues to pitch well, he could very well be part of the playoff rotation for the Red Sox. So they take it 4-1. They use the home run ball. I mean, this team can win in so many ways. We've seen it. It's been highlighted in this Yankees series. The 15 runs, the 8-run fourth inning on Thursday night. Then last night, you got the pitching doing the job. Today, it's again the pitching doing the job, the starting pitching. I mean, so much for needing an eighth inning guy after Porcello and Eovaldi today. So just remarkable stuff from the Red Sox. Tough to complain about too much. The low spots today, Craig Kimbrel walking the tightrope there on the ninth as he got the first two batters quickly on strikeouts, Walker and Gardner. But then Giancarlo Stanton down to his final strike, doubles. Didi Gregorius ropes a double to score Stanton. And then all of a sudden, control an issue, walks Hicks, walks Torres, bases loaded, but gets Greg Bird to fly out to finish it off. So Red Sox 8.5 up. You know, you want to see what's going on with Chris Sale. Are they the team to beat in all of baseball? I think it's either the Red Sox or Houston, isn't it? Right now, if you have to look at it right now. And could have all the makings. You know, the Yankees right now play that one-game wild card against either Oakland or Seattle. Right now, Oakland, which is one of the surprise, definitely the surprise in the American League, I'd say, has a half-game lead on Seattle. Whether it's Oakland, Seattle, Yankees play that, you could very well be seeing Yankees, Red Sox, ALDS, and I think that's what's going to end up happening. All right, 617-779-7937. You can text us as well, 37937, as we get to the phone calls. And first up is Jim in Medford. Hey, Jim.
Hi, John. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Good to hear you again.
Appreciate that.
I just want to get off my chest all the anger at all these people who are just saying this really doesn't matter. The playoffs, all that matters, you know, that we're getting too excited about this. Just tell them to enjoy it. Just enjoy the ride, you know? I think they're a better team than they were last year. I think that's pretty obvious. So even the playoffs, I think they should be favored. You know what I mean? I'm just...
Yeah, no, I mean, look, I think that. I mean, a lot of people's... I mean, this is typical Boston temper. is the excitement is tempered, you know, because of, you know, what's happened in recent playoff pass with this team, not being able to get past the first round. But yeah, there's definitely a feel. I mean, I think the manager has something to do with it. I think some of the additions have something to do with it. It just has a general feel. Definitely the manager giving him a boost. I mean, there was a lot of times I think last year felt like with John Farrell, I heard earlier today Trenny Tomasi mentioned it, did, you know, it is accurate. Like every game he was managing his last game. Like every game was a must-win game. And I'm sure he felt some pressure. But, you know, it's definitely – it seems to be a more loose atmosphere this season. And this team definitely – I mean, a lot of the guys, Chris Sale is saying this is, you know, the best club he's ever played for, best bunch of teammates. I mean, not that there was major overhauls. There was definitely some changes, but – yeah, I mean, you know, you got Betts with more experience, Benintendi with more experience, Bogarts as well, and, you know, feeling confident. There's no question about that, and I'm sure they feel like they can win in every which way, which they really have this season.
Yeah, I just say to all those fans waiting for the playoffs, just enjoy the ride. It's just a game, and it's fun. It's a historic season. So just
yeah, no, I'm with you, Jim. Enjoy it, and they should be enjoying it, especially the way they've played against the Yankees, who are definitely reeling right now, and they've caught them at the right time. But I also, I'm part of the group. I'm enjoying it, but I'm also like, all right, and I feel like the Red Sox are definitely in the conversation, if not. I mean, right now they feel like they're the team to beat in all of baseball, but I'm also like, all right, I want to see how Sale comes out of it off the DL. I want to see if Price can finally beat this Yankees team to give him some confidence. So I still myself, even though I feel like they're the favorites right now, and I would say they are the favorites, I still want to see how they get the job done here in the postseason. I mean, obviously.
Sure.
I mean, because they say they win 110, 111 games, but if they bow out in the first, especially the ALDS to the Yankees, you'll feel, boy, will you feel deflated. I mean, I will anyway as a fan.
I guess so. It's almost like just completely dismissing the Patriots 16-0 season because they lost. I mean, just not remembering how much fun.
Yeah,
it was.
No, I mean it was. But and thanks, Jim. And I love the optimism and the enthusiasm. But I mean, I do remember that well, very well, the 16-0 season. But I remember even more them losing to the Giants in the Super Bowl. I mean, that's the thing. I think that would, as Boston fans prior to 2004, 2003 obviously was a heartbreaker with Aaron Boone and everything there. But I think that we've gotten greedy and for good reason here as Boston fans with all the titles. I mean, nowadays it's championship or broke. I mean, I think that some Red Sox fans would take something if say the Red Sox, but this would, I mean, that would be discouraging too. If the Red Sox, say the Red Sox and the Yankees play in the ALDS, Red Sox advance, they play Houston in the ALCS and lose. I mean, would you feel great about the season? I mean, there's still plenty of time to go, but I feel like, it's World Series, at least reaching the World Series, if not really winning the World Series, because I think they're better than the Dodgers, even with the additions of Manny Machado and Brian Dozier and everything else. I still think that they're a better all-around team than the Dodgers or anything the National League has to offer, the Cubs, anyone else. All right, let's continue with the calls. Here's Dave in Franklin. Hey, Dave.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good, man.
Yeah, it was a big game, great game. And good question is, do you think they'll win 50 50? Will lose 50 games or less?
That's a good question. All right, so
they have 34 right now, right?
Yeah, they have 34, 78 and 34, 44 above 500. So there's, 51 games left, somewhere on there? Or is it less than that? Something like that. Yeah, I mean, this was game 112. So 40 games left.
34 and 16?
Yeah, I mean, look, they right around there. I mean, that's a very good question, really.
That's
because, I mean, they still have, I mean, they've been piling up the wins, which is the big difference between the Red Sox and Yankees, where, the lousy Baltimore Orioles have played the Yankees even this season. Tampa Bay's played them even, where the Red Sox have crushed teams like Baltimore.
Right. I think it might come down to the last week of things.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably say they do. They do because they still got some serious, they got two against Cleveland, they've got Houston, but it is a good question. But they'll be right around there, not too much more than that.
Right, unless they, rest a lot of guys the last week and lose a few extra games, maybe. But
yeah, I mean, I'm so curious too tomorrow night to see how David Price pitches after back to back gems by Porcello and Eovaldi, and he's going up against actually the Yankees' hottest pitcher, Masahiro Tanaka, who's pitched well since coming off the DL. He's 9-2 overall, but yeah, I mean that's going to be really interesting tomorrow night at Fenway Park, I think, as they go for the sweep. I mean, it's tough to sweep any team in a four-game series, never mind the Yankees, even with their injuries.
Exactly.
All right, Dave, happy you enjoyed the game. It was a good game to go for. I mean, all three games, if you were a fan at any three of these games, all great games to go to. As we continue with our phone calls, here's Jordan in the car. Hey, Jordan.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm here talking about Sandy Leone.
All right.
So, his last two games, as you know, Eovaldi, a gem. And then yesterday, Porcello, a gem. So, I'm wondering, I feel like he doesn't get enough credit for what he does.
Yeah, I mean, that's, Sale loves pitching to Leone. And obviously, with Vasquez out, Leone doing the majority of the catching and will continue to do so now with, Swihart on the mend as well. I don't know. I would guess he'd be catching tomorrow night, too, in this series. And then maybe they have the off day Monday. Who knows what they do Tuesday? But, yeah, I mean, Porcello praised him up and down. He kept crediting Leone last night in his post-game interview.
Exactly. And I want to see him in the playoffs. I don't want to see Vasquez because I think Leone's game calling is way too important instead of the bat, even though his double was nice today.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I know. And that was a key – thanks for the call, Jordan. Yeah, well, you'll be seeing Leon catch Sale. You know, Vasquez probably catch Price, right? Leon might work with Evaldi. Who knows? I mean, there's still a lot to be shake out here over the final, really, almost two full months of the regular season. But, yeah, I mean, I have no problem with his game calling. Red Sox, in terms of their offense at the catcher position, hasn't been what it was last year with the combination of Vasquez and Leon. And Vasquez out with a broken finger. But, yeah, that was pivotal, really. And I didn't think they'd overturn that for that fourth run. That was really key insurance, especially against this Yankees attack, even though they have no Aaron Judge or Gary Sanchez, adding that insurance in the seventh. I mean, I thought there wasn't enough there to overturn that, but it did kick up just right on the outside of the chalk line by the foul line there in left field, and they overturned it. That was a key run for the Red Sox tonight. Let's go to Rich in Providence before the break. Hey, Rich.
Good evening, John.
Hey, Rich.
Hi. The you were talking to guy before the game last night. His name is escaping me.
Rob Bradford?
Rob Bradford. Sorry about that, Rob.
That's right. He'll be joining me at some point in the show, too. But anyway, go on.
He mentioned two minor leaguers, one of them a reliever who's doing very well.
Yeah, Durbin Feldman.
Yep. And is he a righty, a lefty?
Righty.
Righty, okay.
Out of TCU, and it might be interesting if he ends up getting called up in September, I mean, which has happened in the past. It actually happened with a TCU reliever when the Royals went to the World Series and the guy named Brandon Finnegan years back, where he was drafted that year and then he ended up getting to the Major League club and actually being part of the postseason roster. I mean, I don't know if that will happen, but...
Well, that would be excellent if that could happen.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, he could be a September call-up. I believe he's at high A now, so still...
And the other guy, he's been around the league. He's 27 years old, a hitter. Was the other guy?
No. Well, that was part of. I mean, today a call up, Tony Renda, who replaced Ian Kinsler, who goes on the DL. He's kind of a journeyman. He only other time he played in the big leagues was a couple of years ago with the Reds.
Okay, but so who was the other guy that Rob was...
Rob mentioned a couple of different guys last night, if I remember, in terms of the... he mentioned a guy, Bobby Dalbec, who's at Portland, has hit a bunch of home runs.
Yep.
You know, the Durbin Feldman kid, and I'm actually can't... I think it was Josh Ockamy or someone at Pawtucket, someone like that. I can't exactly remember.
Just,
but
a couple other things... they talk about they brought back Pedroia too fast. I'm not so sure if they brought him back later on, if the same thing wouldn't have happened. And the last thing concerning Chris Sale, I think they should seriously consider just not allowing him if they can. Not just allowing him to miss one start, but at least two starts.
Now, that might happen. I mean, the next time... If he comes off the DL, he could make a start against Toronto, which is coming up in one of the games of that series. You know, there hasn't been any word of that. I'll ask Rob when he joins me at some point about, you know, what's the latest on Chris Sale. He's in the clubhouse every day.
The reason for it is because, as you know, that when the season gets stretched out, as the longer it goes on, the more tired he gets. So,
well, that's what happened last year, yeah.
Yeah, I think it would be wise to give him an extra week off.
Well, they might. I mean, Sale probably wouldn't like that much. That might happen. Thanks for the call, Rich. Appreciate it. Yeah, we shall see in terms of Chris Sale. I haven't heard anything of late in terms of, you know, I haven't heard anything in terms of a setback with his DL stint with a sore shoulder. But, you know, look, they're going to be cautious with Sale anyway. I mean, and he'll want to go eight innings every time out if he can. I mean, that's just the type of competitor he is, which is what I like about Chris Sale. But yeah, they'll be cautious because it was right around this time last year, maybe a little before it, that Sale started to lose a little bit of steam. All right, it's John Ryder with you, Red Sox Review. We can take your calls here at 617. We will take your calls here at 617-779-7937. You can text us as well, 37937. Red Sox win again, beat the Yankees yet again. I mean, this is becoming routine, isn't it? So they've now 5-1 against the Yankees at Fenway Park this season. They're now 7-5 on the season. We'll continue here with a Red Sox review. Get into more of the Red Sox and the Yankees. You see you lined up there on the phone lines. Room for you. A couple open lines, 617-779-7937. You can text us as well, 37937. We'll be back with more after this break here on WEI. John Ryder with you, Red Sox Review. You're up as we continue with your phone calls after another Red Sox win. You know, it's crazy to think this was on pace to be even less than 2 hours and 15 minutes today, this game. Ended up taking, the first 3.5 innings were 45 minutes of a Red Sox-Yankees game. I mean, is this really Red Sox-Yankees? I mean, I think most fans will take it. 2 hours and 15 minutes last night behind Rick Porcello, 2 hours, 33 minutes. And if it wasn't for that top of the ninth, which ended up taking 20 minutes with Craig Kimbrell breezing through the first two batters, then struggling, then eventually getting Greg Bird to sky out to center field. So, Eovaldi, I mean, he was just absolutely on cruise control. What was it, 15 batters faced after 5 innings? I mean, he was remarkable today with that cutter. I mean, that cutter and then his fastball, and he'd get it up there in the 90s, and the slider was affected. All three pitchers working, and he said so. Well, we watched it, and obviously we saw what was happening out there. Eovaldi just pitched a gem. In fact, you know, I saw an interesting note in the Red Sox notes before the game. That 2-hour, 15-minute Red Sox game, shortest game of the season for the Red Sox. Also, the shortest 9-inning Red Sox-Yankees game. You have to go all the way back to May of 1994. So the Red Sox pitching behind Eovaldi and Porcello the past two nights. No Steve Pierce today, so he was unable to homer. But J.D. Martinez went deep as 33rd. It's been a while for him, just 5 games. And Mitch Moreland with a two-run shot, his 13th of the season. So the Red Sox, once again, when scoring first, and they've been incredible, 53-7 now when scoring first. I mean, I could probably bore you to death with these stats, but and I won't do that, but they're just remarkable. I mean, just all of these numbers that they're putting up. But the question is, as one person texted in, you can text in as well, 37937. 714 texting, it's World Series or bust for this team, and I feel a lot of people feel that way. I mean, the way they're going. I mean, what was it? The 2001 Mariners that won 116 games and then bowed out to the Yankees, who eventually lost Arizona that year, I believe, in the World Series. But
behind Curt Schilling and Randy Johnson.
That's right. That's right. And Luis Gonzalez with the bloop single, the game winner. I remember not too long after that. Like a piece of chewed gum from Luis Gonzalez in that World Series or in that that clinching game or something went for some crazy amount of money at auction.
Didn't Luis Gonzalez end up winning like the Home Run Derby one year too?
I think so. Like he had some good years there with Arizona. That was back when, I know still people are involved in memorabilia and stuff like that, but that was back when it was really a crazy period of time with some of that stuff. Of course, people's incomes were a little bit better at that time, some people anyway, but that was, 98, not too long. That was when the McGuire balls were going for all that money, but we digress. Let's get back to the phone calls. Here's Paul in Westfield. Hey, Paul.
John E. Ryder Holder. The empire is crumbling. It's absolutely wonderful to watch, John. Remember you said Porcello's best game? Pedro, back in 99, did that with one home run, no hits, 17K.
Yeah, 99. Chili Davis home run, that was it.
Hell yeah, bud. We're witnessing some awesome stuff. You know, some people are just miserable and half empty. I don't give a crud if the whole team and the planet explodes tomorrow, because we're witnessing a combination of timing, Dombrowski, a new coach, a happy attitude, and they are having more fun. And the most fun is less distracted, and boy, are they focused. It's just wicked to watch. And what's with this cutter? It's like a different version of a knuckleballer. It's a disappearing, wiggling ball. What's going on with that?
That cutter is, well, there's not a lot of guys that can throw a cutter on 94 miles per hour. And, but Eovaldi, it just seems, obviously these two starts, not that you expect this all the time, but I mean, it's just been remarkable. And they didn't give up really anything for him in Jalen Beeks, who got smoked in his first appearance for Tampa Bay. I don't know what he's done since then. But, when he was here with the Red Sox, and even in terms of the prospects list heading into the season. I mean, just kind of another guy, so they didn't give up much. He is a free agent after the season. I mean, boy, he could make a lot of money out there if he pitches well down the stretch for the Red Sox and then pitches well in the postseason. I mean, just based on these two starts, there's going to be teams looking at him.
Absolutely. His stock's going to go up. You know, it's funny, John, because people sometimes are so miserable. I keep hearing about the Seattle team that won 116 games. It's not even our team, and they're focused on that.
Yeah, a team from 17 years ago. I mean, that is a pretty funny point. Yeah,
it is. It's funny. But John, this is the funniest thing about Nathan. The fact you just reminded us that he slipped under the radar and we got him for nothing. And as a fan, seeing him pitch and smoke out the Yankees when he used to play for them, to me, it's a crossover remedy. When we gave away Wes Welker, and I said live on the air to you, oh, geez, watch, he'll be catching balls in the playoffs for Denver and win. And lo and behold, my 99.9% accuracy. So
there you go. I thought it was 100 with you, Paul.
No, sir. We don't want to be perfect. That would be suspicious. They'll think I'll have a time machine.
I like that. Well said. Well done. Touche. All right, Paul. Thanks. Have a good Saturday night out there in Western Mass. Yeah, I was looking to, if you're wondering about the players that have pitched for both the Red Sox and the Yankees, I had the list here in front of me. I'll get to it. I know a few of them. Well, obviously the one that stands out, Roger Clemens. A lot of people don't want to hear that. But you had, Ramiro Mendoza was on the list. I'd have to get to it. Remember him? That have started games for both the Red Sox and the Yankees. All right, back to the calls. Here's James in Arizona. Hey, James.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I just want to say this is one of the best Red Sox teams I've ever seen.
To this point, yeah, regular season, no question. I mean, I think that it does. Well, it obviously has that feel. 44 games above 500. I mean, the only teams to win 100 games for the Red Sox, the last one to do, you have to go back to 1946. But
let me tell you, I've been watching the Red Sox since 1967. I remember Yaz, Reggie Smith, Tony Canigliaro. I remember when Canigliaro got hit August 18th of 67. I was 12 years old. I'm telling you, this is the best team I've ever seen.
So far, in terms of regular season, I mean, you know, that 04 team was special.
The way they played, their hitting, their fielding, it's just like, I enjoyed watching the Red Sox.
Yeah, well, I mean, look.
I moved out of Boston, but I enjoy watching them. It's like, wow.
Well, I think many are, because they can win in multiple ways. They can win, and we've seen this is defining it, this series with the Yankees. You get a 15-run night and an offensive explosion on Thursday night. They come back then, and they do it with the pitching. These two now, I mean, they could do it with their base running. They could do it with power. They could do it with starting pitching. They could do it in so many ways.
Do you think this is one of the best rotations we've had in years?
Definitely one of them. I mean, I 04 was pretty damn good with Pedro and Schilling.
Yeah, that was a good year. That was unbelievable.
I mean, 07 was very good. I mean, people forget how good Josh Beckett was that year. Then you had John Lester as well, and Curt Schilling was still with the team at that point.
I remember John Lester. And I'm just saying, it's just like the rotation.
No, look, I mean, Sale, I mean,
don't worry.
Sale, Porcello, I don't know if I'd rank it as the best. It is a very good rotation, very solid rotation. I don't know if they're the best in baseball. I don't know if, I mean, Sale is the best pitcher, I think, in the majors right now, even though he's on the DL. But I would say the Houston rotations, I'd give the nod to them over the Red Sox right now.
We'll see how they do against Cleveland, then we'll know.
Yeah, no, we will.
That will kind of tell us that, even though Kimbrell had me biting my nails tonight, as usual.
Yeah, no, he's kind of been a little bit shaky here and there at different points. He's put up great numbers, but a couple of different occasions this season, including today, he's been a little bit scary at times. All right, here's Blair in Maine before the break. Hey, Blair.
What's going on, my man?
What's up, Blair?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, when the Red Sox play Houston, that's when we know the Red Sox are the team. Now, we're playing ball right now, but when the Red Sox end up playing Houston this season, during the season, then
not the playoffs, we're talking during a regular season matchup. I think both those teams had, well, You know, the Red Sox, it's crazy to think that the Red Sox, and I didn't think this would happen at all, I didn't think they'd get above about four games on the Yankees this season. In fact, I'd be surprised if it was that. It's 8.5 now. I mean, I didn't think that would happen. I thought these teams would be fighting tooth and nail till the very last day of the season.
Yeah, you're right. Totally right. I mean, looking at the Yankees now, they look like a piece of crap.
Well, they have so far this series, and that's one way to end the play. Thanks. Yeah, they have. I mean, look, he's right. They haven't got much going on offense, with the exception of the opener of this series. And, yeah, it's just the pitching of Porcello. And that's one of the reasons why they added Eovaldi, not as a potential guy out of the bullpen. I'm sure they view him as a starter. And, yeah, if need be, that could be the case in the postseason. Won't be the case, I think, in the regular season. But the Yankees and the Astros have both struggled more against right-handed pitching than left-handed pitching. That's why they wanted to go out there and make the acquisition for right-handed starter. It is interesting. Everyone was talking about hosts, fans. Well, the Red Sox are going to add a bullpen piece at the trade deadline. They didn't end up doing that. They still could maybe do that through waivers, and I still think they might. But really key in, I think, what they did under the radar, and really good moves for Dombrowski. I mean, for Dombrowski to go out there and trade for Sale like he did in the past, or Kimbrel like he did in the past, those aren't surprises. But what he had to give up in terms of Pierce, not much. Jalen Beeks for Eovaldi, and even the Kinsler deal, two AAA relievers, and he's on the mend right now. But there, you know, a couple of things that have been, you know, kind of flown under the radar because the bullpen already always is magnified, is Red Sox adding a right-handed starting pitching. They needed to shore up the defense a little bit more at second base. Didn't want, you know, Eduardo Nunez out there every day, who struggled at times defensively and at the plate, although he's picked it up at the plate a little bit more. And they also, as well, you know, right-handed starters. I mean, this was such a top-heavy left-handed rotation. And also with the failings of Drew Pomeranz in this rotation. And by the way, if you didn't notice last night, he said he would be, if needed, available to pitch out of the bullpen, if needed. So we'll see how that all shakes out. Let's get one more in before the break. It's Dan in Nashua. Hey, Dan.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, listen, I just got one question. I think the Red Sox are doing awesome, and
they are.
I think Alex Cora is doing great and stuff like that, okay? And but the question I have is that they let Porcello go in there, okay, and pitch his ninth inning. Okay, which was really big. It was 4-1, and they let the guy go in there. And I know this is an Eagle thing, but it's also a good thing for the pitcher. Why didn't they let the other guy go in
Eovaldi
there?
Yeah, I think he was at 93 pitches. Porcello ended up going 86 overall, which is just incredible. It was 86, 68 for strikes last night. They had Kimbrel warming up. I think a couple of different things. He was closing in on 100 pitches. Just the second start with the Red Sox. He's coming off his second Tommy John surgery. I mean, that doesn't happen too often. You've got two Tommy John surgeries for a starting pitcher. Usually, you know, that spells doom, too.
Well,
usually they don't bounce back. But I'm just saying, and Kimbrel hadn't worked since last Sunday when he saved Eovaldi's first start with the Red Sox. So I think those are the factors why Eovaldi didn't go out there for the ninth.
All right, the reason why I'm asking you this, okay, is, and I understand exactly what you're saying, but what I'm saying is this. Okay, is that they let Porcello go in there.
Porcello, yeah.
Why not? This is the next Yankee pitcher. Why not let him go in there? Let him screw up his own game. It was 4-0, okay? Let him screw up his own game, and if he screws up a couple of times, then put Kimbrel out there. But the thing is, allow him to go on in his ninth in the show, because you know why? Because a lot of pitchers.
No, they're people too.
Don't get a chance to go out there.
Yeah, no, look, you know, but I think that, and thanks for the call, Dan. You know, his confidence was at the tops after eight. I don't think he needed the ninth inning to feel great about that. Yeah, it's great to pitch a complete game. Not many guys do it in Major League Baseball. Hardly ever happens anymore. But I don't think he needed that ninth to feel like, all right, well, now I've really done the job. I mean, he did the job over eight. I mean, he did his job and then some today. John Ryder, Red Sox View, late for the break. 617-779-7937. You can text us 37937. More after this.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
The You're enjoying your Saturday night. John Ryder with you here, Red Sox Review. As we take your phone calls at 617-779-7937. You can text us as well at 37937. We'll get some sound your way, some post-game talk, at least what the media had to ask Alex Cora and others as well after this one. The Red Sox, Alex Cora lasted for this one after getting ejected last night in the first inning, getting heated, and understandably so, and that was definitely the right time for his first ejection of the season, because I think clearly last night, why can't I think of his name now? Luis Severino. This is what happens when you work a million days in a row. Luis Severino last night coming up and in on Mookie Betts. And that was definitely justified. I mean, I think he was clearly trying to hit Betts in that situation last night. I thought that was going to be one of those epic, long, just but Porcello. Boy, did he breeze last night. Nathan Eovaldi did it today. I did find that list of Red Sox, Yankees to pitch for both teams or start for both teams in the past. I actually got a text from David Cohn, Ramiro Mendoza, David Wells, of course. And then if you're going back, some Bill Mombaquette, Frank Tanana, Louis Tiant, Mike Torres. And then there was a couple other guys as well. Raleigh Sheldon, who I haven't heard of, and Gary Wisluski. There you go. I know people were just, you know, couldn't wait on the edge of their seat for that information. All right, 617-779-7937. Yeah, text us at 37937. The Red Sox review, or the Red Sox game that I think people are most fascinated with, is tomorrow night when you've got Price going up against Masahiro Tanaka. That's, I mean, it's all up on Price, right? And that figures that, you know, the Yankees have their best of late going in Tanaka. I mean, the Yankees right now are definitely reeling. I mean, do you know, they're now 12-13 in their past 25, so it just hasn't been this Red Sox series. I mean, they've been struggling since winning that Braves series about a month ago. So it's, you know, and not getting really anything done on offense. I mean, the Yankees today didn't end up scoring in this game until the ninth inning. I mean, so you're talking about getting blanked from the third, after the third last night, all up until the ninth tonight. It looked like it was going to be a shutout. The Yankees have been shut out four times this season. Red Sox have 11 shutouts on the season, all of them combined. The 11 shutouts leads Major League Baseball. 617-779-7937. You can text us as well at 37937. Is the World Series or bust? Is this division sewed up for the Red Sox? I think both of those, yes. I would say yes to those. Would love to hear your thoughts on this team. And it's tough. This is kind of a crazy question to ask, I guess. Are there any concerns with this Red Sox team? I guess the biggest one, and it has been since the beginning of the season, is David Price in a high-leverage situation, or David Price in the postseason. Isn't that it? Right now, you wonder, I mean, if Porcello continues to pitch well, if Eovaldi continues to pitch well, you know, Price has pitched well against most teams outside of the Yankees. But depending what happens, do they still go with Price number two in the postseason? Or do they go Porcello number two in the postseason?
At this rate, you could even make an argument for Porcello being two, Eovaldi being three, and then Price being four.
You could. I think that if they play the Yankees in the ALDS, all right, if they play the Yankees in the ALDS, I think you almost have to start Porcello in game two at home at Fenway.
And I think it makes more sense to make Price game four just because of the giant right-handed mashing lineup that the Yankees have. They just, I mean, with guys like Stanton and Judge, they just mash left-handed pitching. I think it just makes sense to go Sale, Porcello, Eovaldi against the Yankees.
That's Shime time back there talking. Chris Shime, the producer, running things behind the board. John Ryder here with you, Red Sox Review. Yeah, I think, I mean, all right, two brilliant starts from Porcello against the Yankees at Fenway. He had the no-hitter through six earlier in the season at Fenway, and then you had last night what ended up happening. So I think you almost have to. You have to go Sale as long as he's healthy. I mean, that's really the other concern. That's the biggest concern, even more than Price in the post. You know, Sale going to be fine heading into the postseason? How will Sale perform in the postseason? I mean, that's really it. I think this team can hit good pitching. I don't have big ranging concerns about their lineup. I don't think that the postseason bright lights will affect J.D. Martinez. By the way, with him, it just seems so automatic. It's almost robotic with him. I mean, it's like he's you know, is he human? Because, you know, it's just so smooth, everything. I mean, it just kind of, yeah, he'll strike out here and there. He had a couple strikeouts today, but just makes it look so easy. I mean, that home run, it was just, you know, yeah, and a no-doubter, and it was just like a smooth swing out of there on a breaking pitch. What was kind of glaring today and weird to see, you got, you know, there wasn't really much talk about it because the Red Sox ended up breezing and they win 4-1, but Mookie Betts struck out three times today in four at-bats. So that was something that you don't see very often. I think that's only the second time that's happened this season. I still see people, and Mike Trout's having a tremendous season with the Angels, but they're not going to the postseason again. And I know he doesn't have a ton around it, but I still see a lot of the national pundits going with Mike Trout as the MVP right now in the American League. I think it has to be Mookie Betts. I know that I see Betts on a more consistent basis, but just looking at the overall picture, it has to be Betts. And I would even say the runner-up is an argument right now anyway between Jose Ramirez of Cleveland, Trout, and J.D. Martinez, I think. But I think Betts is the clear-cut MVP right now. So I think in a Yankees, you know, a big question, too, is who would the Yankees go with? I guess, you know, if they burn Luis Severino in a wild card game, if they win that wild card game. By the way, if they lose that wild card game, imagine if the Red Sox are playing Seattle or Oakland. I can't see it happening, but imagine the Red Sox losing to one of those teams in the ALDS. That'd be more horrific. I mean, I don't know what would be more horrific, that or losing to the Yankees. I mean, that would be a major, major upset.
The way the Yankees look right now, it would probably be more upsetting to lose to the Yankees, but I would think that a healthy Yankees team in the playoffs, it would hurt a lot more to lose to a team like Seattle or Oakland, for sure.
Yeah. I've got a bunch of different people texting in now with an idea that I thought no one would care about, but I know everyone loves Red Sox-Yankees, a bunch of pitchers that have pitched for both the Red Sox and Yankees. I was just mentioning those that started for both teams. But, yes, of course, Sparky Lyle, someone texted in. Couple different texters about that. Someone texted in Babe Ruth. Alfredo Aceves from the Donut Man. How could we forget about Alfredo Aceves? All right, let's get back to the calls. Here's Sean in Idaho. Hey, Sean.
Hello and good evening there, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call this evening.
Is it wild on Saturday nights in Idaho, Sean?
Well, it's a little bit after 5 right there, which is
oh, that's right.
Eight,
yes.
Yeah,
right.
But I always enjoy listening to your guys' show because I enjoy WEEI and, of course, the Sports Hub. You guys are great. My concern is that – yeah, you're welcome. My concern is Craig Kimbrell. Okay, I think that's still a bit of a concern because, you know, look, they played 8 great innings. I'm like, Kimbrell, you can't be doing this because against the Twins you blew the save, and tonight I don't know what was the wrong problem here. Was it the curveball or what?
He didn't throw any curveballs. He didn't. As far as I saw, he didn't throw any curveballs. It was all mostly fastballs.
He's got to get that.
No, you are right.
That's the problem.
Sorry to talk over you, Sean. You are right. I mean, it has been at times this season. I mean, I can point out a few different times a high wire act, even though he still has the great numbers, but it has been at times.
Exactly, and it needs to be fixed because if it was a 5th game or a game 7 and he came in and he closed the game and he either gave up runs that had the game tied, you know, gave up like a 3-run triple, 3-run double, or a 2-run double, or a RBI single, that's a problem. I remember calling in a few weeks ago. I think I talked with you about this too. Look, we remember about the 2017 American League Divisional Series against the Astros. All he needed to do is get one out. We would have been out of the mess. Probably would have won it on the Rafael Devers walk-off inside the park home run, or even would have tied it because Beltran had the RBI double. Or, yes, the Twins, for example, I couldn't believe that. So, Kimbrell, he really needs to get his act together because that was scary for all of us. We're like, come on, Nathan Eovaldi's pitched 8 solid innings.
I know.
Innings.
Well, I mean, you know. Yeah, it wasn't like, yeah. I mean, you know, kind of played devil's advocate here. It wasn't, you know, he had Stanton down to his final strike. Stanton ropes the double. Then Gregorius with a double. But we're not talking about, you know, Shane Robinson or Austin Romine at the bottom of the order or something. So, but still,
like
no,
Alfredo
I'm with you.
Service, like you said.
I'm with
yeah.
you. And I wonder sometimes if he's starting to think, and thanks for the call, Sean, about this being a free agent year for him. I don't know if he's thought about that at all, but sometimes that can get to guys as you get to later in the season. Let's get to Wally in Fall River real quick before the break. Hey, Wally. Hey, Wally.
Let's have some fun, guys. I mean, we're, what, 44 games over 500 now. Brian Cashman opens his mouth, says the Red Sox can't beat good teams. And I think that put a little pressure on the Yankees. But Red Sox Nation should be happy as a clam. But as far as Carl, I think he just wanted to give Kimbrel some work.
Yeah, that's what I think, too.
Right, but you look back at 2011 when Epstein was the general manager. They needed pitching down the stretch. Who did he get? Eric Bedard. Plus the fact that they, you know, I think they lost, what, 20 out of 26 games. So I don't think this team is going to do that. Believe me, not right. I've seen some bad Red Sox teams. I've seen Felix the Cat play Mantilla, Button, Don Button, Eddie Brasseau. I mean, you know, I've seen it all. The good, the bad, and ugly. This team has a special, I know. It just everything seems to be going right. And
everything's clicking. No, everything's clicking, Wally. And I appreciate the phone call as always. It is. I mean, how can you, season 44 games above 500. All right, up against the break, John Ryder, Red Sox Review. We'll get you a break of trending now, and then Rob Bradford will be calling in. We'll talk to him about the Red Sox, Yankees, and everything Red Sox coming up here on WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.